In your face. We're chatting with Alison Thorne and Stephen Durham from the Freedom Socialist Party during 3CR's May Day special. Stephen, let's start with you. I am fascinated to hear about your observations of ICE in the United States. They seem to be everywhere, and they seem to be the modern day brown shirts.
Well, they're a government agency, and it's important to understand that ICE is the result of the Anti-Terrorism Act, which the Democrats and the Republicans voted for after 9/11, the falling of, and that's when they completely reorganized and created ICE. Before it was the INS, which is the Immigration and Naturalization Service. And all the terroristic occupations of the streets and the detentions and the grabbing people off the streets is all a result of this attack on American workers and especially immigrants at this point, to create a repressive, they're testing the American working people to see how much repression they're going to tolerate. And at this point, what's been very good is there's been massive outpourings, not just in Minneapolis, but also in Los Angeles and in other cities, and neighborhood watches. And you have U.S. citizens openly defending and facilitating, you know, food purchases and also escorting immigrants and blowing whistles and showing up where ICE is. And that's a really, really, you know, really, really important. And what's really concerning is that the Trump administration in Los Angeles has mobilized the military against the protesters protesting ICE. And this is a complete violation of the U.S. Constitution, that the military can't be mobilized on U.S. soil. So there's a lot positive that's happening. There's a lot negative that's happening, and it's really a standoff. And whether they are the fascist forces or not, I actually don't think they're the fascist forces, because they're coming from the state repression. They're coming out of the state apparatus, and they're coming out of the complicity of the Democrats and the Republicans responding to what happened in New York City, which was, the bombing of the towers. But I think that the ruling class in its in entirety really understands that disruption on U.S. soil is something that they have to stay on top of. And they're really putting together a repressive apparatus and to be able to, because they know that something more is coming down the line.
Alison, you've been concerned about the far right for a long time. You've been raising the alarm for years, including on this show. You must look at what Stephen's described in the United States and think it could easily happen here, especially with the rise of One Nation. What are your thoughts?
Right. Well, my thoughts are we've got to get organised. And the reason why groups like One Nation are getting a hearing. It's interesting what Stephen was talking about in terms of ICE being a product of the program of both the Democrats and the Republicans. I think that people being attracted to the right-wing populist and bigoted politics of One Nation is a result of the failures of all of the major parties of capitalism. The fact that the Labor Party is attacking the National Disability Insurance Scheme, for example, that is, you know, like absolutely shocking. So, in terms of thoughts, what is really important, people are hurting and we need to be giving them real answers that the problems, the inequality lies in the capitalist system, not in immigrants. We've got to get out there, and we've got to fight, and we've got to challenge racism, and we have to build broad and disciplined and inclusive united fronts to take on the far right, to really stand up to the far right. We need to mobilise all of right-wing populism's targets and all of fascism's targets to unite and fight back. And on this May Day, I have to say that I have been very inspired by some of the resistance that we are seeing going on amongst the multiracial working class of the United States, standing up to ICE, standing up to anti-trans bigotry, fighting war. This is inspiring, and it's something that we need to keep emulating here.
Stephen, when Alison was talking about, you know, the rise of One Nation here in Australia, you could kind of transpose that, if you like, to the rise of MAGA, you know, the working class are being failed by both major political parties and the political system in the United States created MAGA and the rise of Donald Trump, really. And of course, the global financial crisis as well was a huge part of it. What are your thoughts on the rise of MAGA and what it represents in the United States?
Well, MAGA really represents the underside of the United States that has always been there, which has always been there. MAGA is the southern police state that we fought against in the civil rights movement in the 60s. MAGA is the racism and the sexism and the homophobia. We have been fighting a rising right wing, in my experience, since the mid 70s. When they mobilized against abortion. There's been a whole anti-abortion movement led by the Mormon Church, and now we see this whole kind of Christian nationalism coming forward that is really, really that threatens the lives of so many people, not just women, but trans and lesbians and gays. And so MAGA is also the result of the failure of any kind of realistic alternative to the duopoly, the dictatorship of two big business parties. And they have the whole electoral system locked down. And in fact, Trump didn't win by the majority of the people. It was only 27% of the people who voted, because the whole system in the United States has discouraged people to vote. But the dissatisfaction with the conditions of their lives, the dissatisfaction with with no real viable alternative really being posed, making it completely different to do it in the electoral arena, is what gave rise to MAGA. And MAGA now is starting to splinter around the war in Iran. But it's very, very dangerous, because out of this splintering, the kernel of complete reactionary politics and also proto-fascism is consolidating itself. And once again, I want to say that it's consolidating itself around this issue of Christian nationalism, where you have memes promoted by Trump, which is on Easter like Jesus Christ. So it's not, I really don't think MAGA is fascist, but I do think they're fascist in the government, like Stephen Miller, who is promoting the whole politics of attack on immigrants. He really is a fascist, but we don't have really a fascist movement yet. But things also are moving so quickly in the United States. I mean, just moving so quickly to war now, and in 2026, that, you know, there's a real possibility that things could shift. Things are shifting very fast. That's the negative. On the positive, I think there's a real possibility of things shifting among the American workers. And you see that happening too. The U.S. working class is an undefeated working class. It's been relatively privileged, been privileged by post-World War II prosperity, which was based upon the destruction of Europe and the destruction of Japan. And that delivered a certain amount of prosperity. And that is what fueled the American dream. But for a whole new generation, the American dream is not even a reality anymore, especially for young people. You know, I went to college. It was the Great Society. It was the war was going on, and they wanted to avoid any kind of radicalization by giving relatively free education. Now, students, the generation of students there's a $1 trillion deficit, student deficit. Consumer debt is actually, people are using consumer debt to be able to feed their children and drive their cars at $1 more a gallon. And then government debt, that's a whole nother situation about the international debt of the United States and how is the United States going to fund what it wants to do. Well, now what's going to happen inevitably is they're going to fund war on the backs of the working people. Meanwhile, the whole system is delivering everything to the billionaire class.
Alison, we have an underclass of workers, if you like, here in Australia, where people are paying so much rent that they have to choose between rent or food. You know, they've got these huge bills with utilities. People are working multiple jobs. The idea of home ownership is a pipe dream for so many young people. What are your thoughts on what has happened to working people and also people that, you know, survive on benefits in Australia in this climate?
Look, it is deeply, deeply ironic that May Day started with a fight for the 8-hour day and, you know, for so many working people today to be able to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week would be heavenly, you know, because so many people are just eking out a living with insecure work. It really is a crisis. But what we are seeing is we are seeing some incredible green shoots of organising, because when the working class has our backs to the wall, the only way out is to fight. And we see, for example, the Victorian teachers, where 40,000 were out on the street. And the government does seem to be moving now in its pay offer, but the demand for 35%, that was not an AMBIT claim. That's what teachers need to survive. There's the local council workers who are fighting. I'm a member of the Community and Public Sector Union, and I'm part of a rank and file caucus called Democracy for CPSU, and we're getting ready for bargaining towards the end of this year, and the rank and file is sending the strongest message to the union officials that we are ready for a fight and we've had it with their backroom dealing with the employer, the Albanese Labor government. It is ridiculous that a mid-level public servant cannot even afford to rent a one-bedroom flat on their own in Canberra. It really, really is ridiculous. And so for the working class, there is no choice but for us to fight. And that is something that is, you know, we can see that these struggles are popping up all over the place. And in the United States, I've been very inspired that the call for a general strike is something that is now starting to resonate there. So this May Day, we really need to be popularising the fight. We live in a society that has the wealth for all of us, for whether we're workers, whether we're people on pensions, whether we're on disability. We have the wealth for all of us to live a good life, but the priorities are wrong. What we've got to do is we've got to switch the funding away from things like AUKUS and nuclear submarines and the military. We've got to start taxing the rich. I mean, really, the call, it's shocking to see Albanese running scared from the call for a 25% tax on gas exports. That is a modest demand, and it could easily pay for the projected growth in the National Disability Insurance Scheme. So there are answers, and the answers are not scapegoating. The problem is capitalism. The solution is socialism. And on a day like May Day, that's what we should be talking about.
Stephen, the Trump administration and the midterms, you're mentioning the fight before. It seems that Trump will go all out to try and protect his majority in both houses of Congress. To what extent are you concerned that he will use the military, he will use ICE to try and intimidate people at the polling booths?
Well, before I answer that question, I just want to say that this is an unprecedented May Day. It was the immigrants 20 years ago and a mobilization of immigrants that brought May Day back to American soil. In 2006, it was only the left, and there were no marches, but only the left celebrated May Day. And so the immigrants really brought May Day back to the U.S., onto U.S. soil. And as a result, 2 or 3 years later, the labor bureaucracy started having rallies too, which was totally verboten because the whole United States empire is built upon anti-communism, and there's no way. And still they changed it from May 1st to September, the first weekend in September. So I just wanted to mention that. Yes, I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned because Trump won the election by a lot of invalidating a lot of voters of registration. And so there was a huge number of voters that couldn't really vote in the election of his election. Anyway, it is concerning, and it's concerning because the concern I have also is the whole movement is going to be whole movement that has arisen in defense of immigrants is going to be challenged into electoral politics. And that usually means death. You know, the Democratic Party is the graveyard for social movements. And so it's of great concern. And, you know, you had fascism in Germany, and that's a whole model that we follow. But fascism come to the United States could be different. And if he invalidates the elections, there could be a real move towards fascism. But if fascism has to have a mass base, and today in the United States, fascism does not have a mass base. The MAGA movement is split. It's split, and it's very dangerous. You can be happy about the split, but also there is a kernel of fascism in the MAGA movement. But the MAGA movement itself isn't mass based. You know, it doesn't represent a huge number of dissatisfaction among the American workers. So I'm concerned about the election. But one of the things I'm especially concerned is that the Democrats won't do. Really provide an alternative. And if they win, they'll do what always happens. They'll talk about bipartisan and conciliation because they're not even putting up a fight now, a consistent fight now to really defend the immigrants or to mobilize people. They have, the Democrats have greater fear of the American workers and immigrants and people of color and trans and gays and all all the movements that arose out of the civil rights movement that are still there, but in a weaker form. They have more fear of the mobilization of the U.S. people than they do of big business and the and Wall Street.
And of course, Barack Obama bailed out Wall Street after the global financial crisis and didn't help the people whose mortgages had, you know, basically meant that their homes were foreclosed, which led to this movement that became MAGA. We've seen ICE on the streets of Minneapolis and Los Angeles. You're from New York. What are your observations of just observing ICE? Are they everywhere? Do you see them a lot? What are your experiences observing ICE in New York?
Well, in New York, there hasn't been the mobilization like in Minneapolis or Los Angeles. ICE has been active in immigrant communities, but there's not a sense that I think that Trump and the federal government knows that if that New York could turn into a real huge rebellion in a large city with an international profile. And so I think they are a little more careful in New York. But I think they're coming. I think they're coming, and I think they just have to feel a little more power. And we can't underestimate the fact that they'll be there. But New York is also the bastion of liberal democratic, you know, politics, even though we have a socialist mayor who ran as a Democrat. He's called himself a socialist, and he's already been to the White House twice and has a personal relationship with Trump, which is all very disappointing, given the fact that he's Muslim and he ran as a socialist, and his rhetoric was very good. But a socialist really can't administer a capitalist state. I mean, that's the lesson. In order to have socialism, you have to have a revolution, and you have to have a revolution in a country like the United States, which has so much international influence. I mean, I was just here talking to somebody here in the station and talking about the big investments are all over Australia. and so, you know, that's another thing. The other thing too is that the big issue in the United States is AI, artificial intelligence. And that is at the bottom of this control of resources, because to create artificial intelligence and to run these huge supercomputers, you have to have a huge amount of energy, electricity, and also you have to have a huge amount of water. And so the environmental issue is also very much there. But as a socialist feminist and as a revolutionary socialist feminist and somebody who was radicalized as a student in the 60s and the lesbian and gay movement, it's like we need to really promote the political leadership of the most oppressed, because their people at the bottom are the ones that can lift the whole structure.
Alison, tell us about the Freedom Socialist Party's forum on the 10th of May at Thorn Harbour Health, exploring the what could be done about combating Trump.
It is going to be a really, really exciting May Day forum. The title's Fortifying the Fight Against the Trump Regime, A Revolutionary Feminist Speaks Out. And listeners have already heard some from Stephen this afternoon, so I'm hoping that tiny little taster has enticed listeners to come along and hear some more. As well as Stephen speaking, the event is going to be chaired by Maudie Osborne, who will be saying a little about the importance of May Day. There'll be a great opportunity to discuss, and we can tease out the nature of the Trump regime, the nature of the resistance, and the meaning of what's happening in the United States for the people of the world, because it really is globally connected. The event kicks off at 4 o'clock. after the formalities, we will be serving a delicious dinner, and people can get tickets online from Humanitix. And the easiest way to find the ticket link is to just go to socialism.com. That's our website, socialism.com, very easy to remember, and go to the Melbourne page. You'll find the event and the link to the ticketing. And we do hope to see many, many 3CR listeners there. It'll be a great way to keep on celebrating the spirit of May Day.
Absolutely. That's on the 10th of May. Alison Thorne and Stephen Durham from the Freedom Socialist Party, thank you so much for joining us today on 3CR. And Stephen, welcome to Australia. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm here to learn.
3CR. Did you know that 3CR first went to air in 1976? That's right. We're turning 50 this year.
Right from the start, we prioritized progressive voices, First Nations issues, local music, alternative perspectives, and truth-telling.
50 years on, it's clear that independent, local media continues to be vital, and that there's a strong need for media that shines a light on injustice and gives voice to a vision for a better world.
Are you a current subscriber? We really need you. Subscribe today and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.